How many of us still remember 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20? That is the theme scripture for this event. It's a summary. It's a crystallization of some sort that Apostle Paul gives us. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Indicative of the fact that when mighty kingdom things take place, the only way we can know about it is when there is a manifestation of power. So, as far as God's kingdom is concerned, the manifestation of God's power is critical in illustrating what the kingdom of God is doing. Jesus said, if I by the finger of God cast out devils, then the kingdom of God is among you. You see, in order to make kingdom statements, in order to establish kingdom policies, in order to do and to effect the program and the plan of God, there is always a need for the manifestation of the power of God. So we saw in the first lecture how that the power of God is a utensil that is used to illustrate something that the kingdom of God is doing. And during the course of the teaching, we saw the first thing that the power of God is designed to illustrate is the exaltation of Jesus Christ. The exaltation of Jesus Christ cannot be known outside of power. The exaltation of Jesus Christ actually means how that the Father has given him a designation in heaven. And that designation is far above every and any other designation that exists. And in order for you to know how high Jesus is, there is an allocation of power that is attributed, connected to his exalted office in the Spirit. And this allocation of power is the utensil by which he operates his office. So Jesus, in the book of Matthew chapter 28, told his disciples that all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. In order for him to operate that office, he received an allocation of the power of God. Power is critical. If we are going to understand the workings of kingdom things, then we need to know that when kingdom things are being expressed, the language that is used to express kingdom things is the language of power. So outside of power, it is impossible to know that Jesus is exalted. Outside of power, it is impossible to know that Jesus can save. Outside of power, it takes power to break the hardened heart of a sinner man and bring him to the point of conviction and repentance. Outside of power, these spiritual resources that are domiciled and available in the realm of the Spirit, namely salvation, people will not know that there is such saving capacity in Jesus Christ, except his power goes to work to confirm that such capacity exists. So if kingdom things are going to be known, then there must be a demonstration that reveals their authenticity and their availability. I pray that God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. So without power, it will be impossible to know that Jesus has been exalted, and right now he has been made both Lord and Christ. Number two, we'll still go back to Matthew chapter 28, where we left up this morning. Matthew 28. If you are there, say amen. Matthew chapter 28. beginning from verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then verse 19, which is my emphasis, on the strength of the power that is given unto Jesus to operate his office, he now gives us a commission. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Our commissioning to represent God is a commissioning that was done by power. If you are going to represent the kingdom of God, you are short of what it takes to represent God if you do not have power that is a proof that God has sent you. Everybody that God sent, in fact, I tell you authoritatively as a scholar of the Bible, that there was no one in the entire scriptures that God sent to do evangelism for him that was not competent in the ways of expelling demons. Someone might call himself an evangelist, and just in case he doesn't have the requisite authority to expel demons, he has fallen short of the standard of the Bible. It doesn't matter whether he's an evangelist in South Africa or in America. As long as he doesn't have the capacity to expel demons, he has fallen short of the standard. Jesus never, and I mean never with great authority, he never dispatched anyone to proclaim the kingdom that was not competent in expelling devils. When Jesus commissioned the apostles to go, therefore, to represent him and to proclaim the message of the kingdom in towns and villages, they were only able to do that because he equipped them with power. So the second thing that the power of God illustrates, you know, I told you that power is a tool by which things that are intangible can be illustrated adequately. And we said the first purpose of power is to illustrate the fact that Jesus, as we speak now, has been exalted in the heavens, and he occupies a platform of administration that is higher than any other platform that exists in the universe. In order for this, his exaltation, his new capacity to be known, the Father allocated power to his office. Are you with me? So without power, it will not be obvious that Jesus is the highest. You get that? And number two, if Jesus begins to dispatch you to represent the interest of the kingdom, one of the proofs that you are actually dispatched by Jesus is that you have an area of competence. And that area of competence that I speak about is a requisite power to back up your claims as a messenger of God. See, number two, the power of God is the language by which my authenticity as a messenger sent by Jesus can be illustrated. You get that? So if I claim that Jesus has sent me and I don't have authority from him, I don't have power from him to back up my claims, it means that I am fake. I know that's hard. It sounds hard. But I need to tell you quickly, in the book of Mark chapter 16, when Jesus was giving us an insight into how to identify a believer, I think we need to read that. Not a preacher yet, not a minister of the gospel, not an emissary of the kingdom of God, just a believer, someone that has found Jesus and has submitted himself under his government. Jesus is telling us in the book of Mark chapter 16. Are you there? The This power matter is a big matter. Are you with me? All right. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs, this is Jesus. He said, if you want to identify a believer, you identify them by signs. And please, so that you will not understand the use of the word signs in this scripture, I will need to explain what he means by signs. I was traveling to a certain airport that I've never been before. And the guy that I was chatting with on WhatsApp gave me an idea of how he's going to comport himself that will make it easy for me to know that he's the one. He told me that his name was Freeman, but he's going to be carrying a placard at the airport with my name written upon it. So when I see that sign, I will be able to identify that he is the one that is communicating with me. So when I got to the airport and I came out of the baggage area, it was easy for me to identify him, even though I've never met him before, because he had the sign. So Jesus is saying, if someone is born again, you don't need to take inventory of their names. Just look out for the signs. And it means if you don't have the signs, you are fake. That's where I'm going. Unfortunately, you are fake. He said, these signs, because you know what? There is no way your theology can be better than that of Jesus. And Jesus said, these signs are the reason, are the basis upon which you will identify those that believe in me. They have strange abilities and empowerments. If God didn't want his followers to be ordinary, and there's an allocation of power that is given to every believer to demonstrate the supremacy of the kingdom of God, then you must consider, when you think that the Christian life is just, is devoid of the power of God. You see, I told you that the meaning of power in the kingdom of God is different from how we perceive it as normal men. If God has chosen a man to carry out any task for him, he gives him several utensils that make him authentic. And part of the utensils that God makes available are supernatural abilities. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Hallelujah. And these are supposed to be signs that will unveil who the believers are to the world. There is no product that comes from God that is not embellished with power. And God is saying here that even as a believer, there are competencies that you should have that proves that you are bona fide, that proves that you are authentic. Any product that leaves a factory goes with a trademark. There is something on the product that can trace the product back to the manufacturer. And if someone is going to represent God, there are compulsory utensils the person must be in custody of that proves that he or she is authentic. Even Jesus Christ, the Bible revealed that he was a man approved of God by miracles, signs, and wonders. Nicodemus acknowledged, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." As far as the kingdom is concerned, power is one of the deposits that must be upon the life of a messenger that God has sent. So in order for you, just in case you say you have a ministry, you are called to do something for the Lord, and there is no evidence of God's endorsement in the area of an equipment or power, you will need a lot of time to prove that God sent you. A lot of speaking. You might go to Urukum roundabout and say, "Jesus has sent me." In fact, they will think you are mad, because that's not how it is done in the kingdom. If it is true that you have been sent on an errand in the kingdom of God, there are utensils that should naturally accompany your efforts. Such utensils that you cannot reproduce naturally, except you are in touch with God. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There was a deposit with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. You see, if there is a deposit of power on your life, God will have to be with you to be operating it on you. So any man that is moving in a tangible dimension of the power, I'm not talking about fake miracles and word of knowledge that is by research, not by revelation. Because, hallelujah. You know, some smart men too have come on the block in recent times. And a certain crusade was going to hold in Abuja. Eagle Square was the venue. And so they were fixing the scaffold for the stage, fixing all kinds of stuff to make the premises conducive for the meeting. And a certain minister that stays in Kaduna was in Abuja at that time. So he was driving past Eagle Square. He parked so that he could encourage, you know, the brethren that were on the side trying to make it conducive for the crusade. While he was still within the range of darkness, because the lighting was not yet perfected, so there were dark places, and fortunately for him, not unfortunately, but fortunately for him, he was navigating through the dark places. Well, that means he could see the people clearly, but the people could not see him. And when he drew closer, they were practicing fake miracles. They brought a wheelchair and told the person that is supposed to be the one claiming to have received the miracle. They were telling him how to rise up from the chair. That if he rises too suddenly, people will suspect that something has been engineered in this. Hallelujah. So they were practicing it. The guy rose up from the wheelchair and they told him it was too dramatic. That it should delay. You know, you don't just stand up and begin to move. You must pretend as if the burden of the affliction is gradually dissipating as the power of God is beginning to act on you. And there were directors that were looking at the miracle proceedings and criticizing it. Now, the man was amazed. I will not go into the second aspect. Something else happened on that ground that night for which the minister of the gospel we give praise to God forever. He was amazed and he didn't know when he trespassed the darkness. and came into lamplight. That was where his challenges began. But Jehovah that delivers people eventually delivered him that night. Now, you see, the question, the issue is this. Those people doing all those things, Jesus did not send them. So, what Jesus normally gives to people that he sends, he has not given it to them yet. So, and they send themselves. So, they need to create a simulation that looks as though there is an equipment that was received from Jesus. This story I'm telling you was soberly told in a conclave of very respected ministers. Hallelujah. I was privileged to be in the corner in that forum. And if I mention the details, this meeting will end this night. Listen to me. The second purpose of power is that it is a proof that God has sent a representative to talk on his behalf and to act on his behalf. If you are still in doubt, we are still going to proceed with our Bible study. I want to invite you to the book of Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Then he called his 12 disciples together, and what did he do? And gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Stop there. This is the procedure that Jesus follows if he wants to dispatch someone to represent him. We don't have details. Because the Bible says he called unto him his 12 disciples. We don't have details of what Jesus did in order to give them power. But at the end of the ceremony, what happened was that Jesus had transferred power to them. And the reason why he transferred power to them was because he was going to send them to towns, to villages, to proclaim the kingdom. And he also gave them another aspect of empowerment, which was the ability to cure all diseases. These were men that were going to speak for the kingdom of God, and they needed to be equipped by God. Because in the eyes of God, you are not an authentic messenger if you do not have the requisite authority and the requisite power to back up your claims that Jesus has sent you. Jesus never sends an empty man. He sends men and women of power to represent the interest of the kingdom. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. If you have ever seen an ambassador, in fact, according to international law, if you enter into the premises of U.S. Embassy in Nigeria, that ground is not Nigeria. That ground is part of U.S. Right? Anything you do on that ground, you have done against that nation. You might see the consular of U.S. as an ordinary person. He has the backing of his nation. And I used to hear Boko Haram bomb places. I've not heard that they bombed the U.S. embassy. So even people that are mad are wise in this regard. No kingdom that's a great kingdom will ever dispatch a functionary without without garnishing them with the necessary support that is needed for them to function effectively in the territory that they are deployed. And so there was this ceremony is what I'm trying to get you to see in the book of Luke chapter 9. So I would like us to look at the ceremony with more detail. He called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. So, the scope of this influence is a bit different. Because if someone has political power, for instance, he has a political seat and his seat has jurisdiction. When Jesus bequeaths to his representatives power, there is a jurisdiction for the power. He said that power is a utensil that puts you in a position of authority over and above the activities and the influences of demons. So it means that if the devil wants to accomplish something in the earth, what he does is that he gives instructions to demons. And these demons are lieutenants in the kingdom of darkness that strive to see that the will of the devil comes to pass. The other day, a couple were fighting. So some of my elders in the Lord were the ones vested with the responsibility to bring calm to the couple. I mean, people that are experienced in the work of the ministry. So this elder in the Lord now went to visit the couple and told them that, are you aware it is Satan that is responsible for this crisis? This is a problem. This is not. Meanwhile, you need to see their wedding picture. The way they were coming to the altar. Bam, 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 bam. I go there like today, walk out with you. That was the song. You no get time to they play me while you. I like to walk out with you. Hallelujah. Jesus. Pick that in. I like to walk out with you. You no get time to play me while you. What's happening here?
I like to walk out with you.
You be my best friend.
Jesus, you're my best friend.
I like to walk out with you.
You know the time to play me while you.
It's just that I'm not a good dancer. You need to see the way the guy did his leg like this. Few days later, he was ready to take a mortar and kill her. He said, this is the face of Satan. This is the face of the devil. Demons had deceived them. Oh, your estimation of demons is wrong. They are highly intelligent entities that can begin to think through your thoughts and you will think that you are the one thinking. The couple could not identify that it was a work of demons. And he had brought them to a point where a once glorious, glorious union was looking like a war front. If you are going to deal with demons and devils, you need some form of competence. You need some form of endowment. at the end of the day, when this functionary finished his work with this couple, the demons were identified, the demons were dealt with, and the couple, he left them crying, confessing to themselves. Because the man has what it takes to undo the things that Satan is doing. Oh, just like you need to go study for so long for you to become a medical doctor, to understand the ways of demons and to stop them in their tracks is a much broader course of study. And that kind of study is not something you do in a classroom. The Holy Spirit makes the insight available at the spur of the moment because Jesus is committed to giving you backup if he has sent you. So there's supposed to be evidence to show that indeed you are a functionary of the kingdom of God. And part of this evidence is power. Hallelujah. Now come with me. Let's push it further. Go to the book of Luke chapter 10. Just one chapter after the previous chapter. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. There are two words there. The two words I'd like you to take note of is other and also. It means this is not the first exercise. This is a second exercise. The first exercise had 12 recruits. Jesus had recruited 12 people. And he had communicated to them what? Power and what? Authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Because that's the drill of the sending ceremony. So subsequently, Jesus was able to gather 70 also, 70 others also. And the same way he empowered them before dispatching them was the same protocol that took place in this experience in chapter 10. So it is as if Jesus is looking for functionaries that can represent him. He's looking for people that he can send to places. He's looking for people that he can send to nations. He's looking for people that he can send to families. And part of their job description is to undo the things that demons have done. There is an emphasis on demons in the narrative of power. Hallelujah. Demonic works need to be spoiled. I don't know, just in 2 weeks alone, if you know how many text messages I've received in this wise. Somebody just died now. We believe that they have not died. If only you can speak, we know that the people will come back to life. The first thing I do, because I don't have the ability to raise the dead. Jesus does. Right? So the first thing I do is not to rush to claim that I have one ability. Because God needs to be with you to be operating the anointing he makes available to you. So I communicated with him and said, some people say there's a challenge. Are you interested in this challenge? Hallelujah. Okay, you're not answering, so let me leave you. Are you there? So I go to him. There's a notice of a challenge here. Sometimes a person can be in Enugu State, sometimes in Lagos State. They say they are the mortuary. They just unveiled the corpse. Can you speak? You see, unknown to them, they are not aware of the fact that it's not my speaking that God honors. What God honors is his own speaking that I'm echoing. If he has spoken and I echo what he's saying, then there's going to be a deposit of the anointing on my utterance, and my utterance is going to go forth as a signet of law enforcement. Have you ever been in a situation before you are confronted with a circumstance and you are absolutely incompetent in bringing about any form of change whatsoever? Have you been there before? It's a frustrating place to be in. That's what it looks like when someone that is not competent arrives on the scene of a circumstance. You will not be noticed because you can't change anything. You are totally incompetent. You see, when you see someone, maybe there's an electricity issue in the neighborhood and someone just shows up and says, okay, I'm going to connect this wire to that wire. He might end up dead because the people that work with electricity, there's a way they dress. He just came with his pajamas and said, problem understood. And you might find him in a strange state. Now, a lot of people try to do things that they're not competent for. Before Jesus sent these guys out, there was a ceremony. This ceremony was an equipment ceremony where people were given what it required to cause changes for the glory of God. And these kind of changes had to do with stopping demonic activity. Tonight, when we go to the practical session, you will know that it is not by power. That there is something called the power of God that has a high affinity to change the activity of demons. Hallelujah. Because I know what I'm talking about. If you don't know God's power, don't preach it. Because you'll be lying. When you finish preaching it wonderfully and sermonizing, there is a cripple there. And then you say, to God be the glory. It is just a proof that you were not there in the sending ceremony. Because the people that Jesus sent, he equipped them with power and with authority.